Hour number two, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. He's Big Joe Dubin, Chase McCabe, Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier with you as well. On this Monday, coming up December 30th, 1 o'clock, Nissan Stadium, the Transperfect Music City Bowl features the Auburn Tigers and the Maryland Terrapins. They will be here. We say hello to Scott Ramsey from the National Sports Council and, of course, the Transperfect Music City Bowl, who helps put it all together. Scott, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you guys today?
We're doing fantastic. So you got your matchup. I know it's almost like Christmas morning for you and your team when you find out the two teams that are going to be here.
Yeah, it is, Chase. It's, the last couple weeks, and we've talked historically, you're just running a lot of what-if scenarios, so you're ready for yesterday. And in today's world of instantaneous information, it's you just got to be prepared. So at that point, you're just kind of ready to say, hey, which one is it so we can get going? And yesterday was that. And, you know, we're excited today. Certainly the Auburn fans have really traveled well to Nashville and supported their team. And it's a great fit there, especially with the game being on Saturday, to really maximize the Auburn fans to get a chance to see them play. And then, you know, Maryland will be a first-time participant in the bowl. And we were a longtime partner with the ACC, but we never lined up with Maryland. And now they're with the Big Ten and a chance to expose our city to a new fan base, which is one of the mission objectives of the bowl, to really kind of utilize that as a big tourism opportunity. And we feel pretty confident that Maryland fans are excited about coming to our city.
And I'll tell you this too, Scott, I love the – it's on a Saturday, and I love the 1 o'clock kickoff. I think that's just a perfect time to kick things off here in Nashville.
Yeah, it is. You know, I mean, you're dictated by the schedule and the calendar every year and how things line up. But this year's a really good one, to your point, Chase. And, you know, to kind of think we're only one of three college games on that day with the Peach and then ultimately the Orange Bowl behind us. So, you know, a lot of great football that day, and to be one of three games and be on ABC is a huge opportunity to showcase our city. And we're looking forward to that opportunity, and we think it kind of maximizes the opportunity for fans to come and have fun in Nashville, but also attend the game and follow their team.
Talking to Scott Ramsey, National Sports Council. And Scott, I love the answer yesterday when I asked you last night about how the Georgia-Alabama game affected the Music City Bowl. Do you mind explaining that again?
Yeah, it's tough to be real concise on it, Joe, as I said yesterday, but kind of how the process works. Every conference has a different selection process, if you will. You know, in the olden days, it was really a draft order, and it was really dictated by how much you paid out. And you got locked in, and at the time you picked, you picked. But now I think we've gotten much more creative on trying to put the right teams in the right cities in the right year to kind of give the fans a different feel for a different matchup and different city, and give the cities, you know, a chance to expose their city to different fan bases. So really going into championship weekend, there's a lot of twists and turns. The first thing is who gets in the New Year's Six? Well, the New Year's Six is comprised of a mix of at-large by ranking and some are by contract. So the one that impacted us most directly was who is going to be the ACC opponent in the Orange Bowl. And that's the highest ranked either SEC or Big Ten team that's not their champion. So had Georgia won, obviously you felt like Ohio State was going to stay ahead of Alabama, which would put the Big Ten in there. Had that happened, the Big Ten was going to vacate their spot in Tampa, which would have given us the second pick in the Big Ten behind the Citrus Bowl. If the SEC, which turned out to be the case with Georgia in there, then the Big Ten was going to fill Tampa, and we would have had the third pick. So there's a lot of moving parts that you can't really connect the dots with without kind of walking some people through. So that's why we have to really kind of wait it out and see what happens. And we had plans ready for both teams, and where there's going to be probably either Wisconsin or Maryland based on who Tampa was going to select. And it's the way it kind of plays out usually on Sundays.
I love the fact that you got a brand new school, Maryland, coming to Nashville. That's a good football team that took Michigan down to the wire right there. What was it like calling Maryland and saying, "Hey, welcome to Nashville," or "You're coming to Nashville"? What was that like?
Yeah, they're excited. I think I said this to you last night too, Joe. I, it's kind of pretty prideful when you get the call and people are so excited about coming to our city. I think it makes you feel really good about Nashville and people's interest in coming here. And hey, we know Maryland is not typically a geographical, you know, fit for Nashville, but they're so excited about coming. They haven't been here. They haven't played Auburn since 1983, which featured Boomer Esiason and Bo Jackson. So, you know, I think the matchup is unique. They had a 20% increase in their average home attendance this year. So they're excited about football. You know, I mean, do we expect to sell out? No, I think you got to be reasonable. But, man, when you start thinking about 10, 15, 20,000 people coming and spending a week here from a market that we can expose our city to that hasn't been here yet, that's one of the missions of the game. So I think we're really excited about that. They're excited about coming, and we're looking forward to having them.
Scott Ramsey is with us from the Transperfect Music City Bowl and the Nashville Sports Council. It's more than just a football game. You know, when you come to our city, there's always different activities surrounding the bowl. So what can fans look forward to?
Well, I think it's always kind of, you know, Broadway's Broadway, Chase, as you know. And
oh, he knows.
No, I've never experienced that. I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, ask Joe. He can help you there. you know, I think early in our kind of formation of the bowl, we tried to maybe over-program things. And our feedback was we like some free time because fans just want to experience the city, and so do the kids. So, you know, we kind of balance that out over the 3 or 4 days they're here. I think one of the great assets we have, which we know living here, is Gaylord Opryland. They host both teams for us, but we got sound waves out there for the players. Jeff Jarrett has a wrestling event, a true setup, 3-match wrestling event for each team. We incorporate some Wounded Warriors and J9 and Folds of Honor veterans and Gold Star families with them on that. And then the fans, we really kind of focus in on the night before. We have our Battle of Bands on Broadway. We host an event for the parents of all the players, so they get to know both teams are in there, so they get to meet and mingle the other parents. We have a great party that night with our sponsors, and then we got a big tailgate party the day of the game, which will be in the morning leading up to the 1 o'clock game. So, you know, we're really blessed that we've got a city that can kind of be our city, which is the destination, and not have to try to create events that are kind of, you know, one-off and try to drive people there. So we balance it out. You know, we host a VIP dinner for the administrators on the stage of Grand Ole Opry. We take the coaches' wives to the Bluebird. So we really kind of use unique assets we have here in Nashville to showcase our city.
Scott, also, I loved hearing this last night, how your little bowl game has generated more than $400 million in revenue for our city. I just found that fascinating, Scott.
Well, Joe, we've been here the whole time. And, I, you know, when we started this in 1998, I don't think we really expected to average over $16, $17 million in direct spending between Christmas and New Year's in Nashville in 1998. And now you look at that week with the New Year's Eve event being added about 10 years ago and averaging about 55,000 to 60,000 folks in the stadium and a 3.5-hour infomercial for our city on ESPN. It's just been exceeded expectations. And certainly the economic and the tourism value is one of the reasons we started the game. It's really paid off in spades, and I think that week, if you really look at it from the business perspective, there's not really a convention out there if we don't have the bowl to replace it with 35,000 out-of-towners that we average. So, you know, it's just really a great use of the stadium, great use of our city, and we're excited about what's been generated, and then also with the new stadium coming, you know, future opportunities as we look ahead.
I just think you guys do such a great job of putting the city on the map, and I know the hard work you guys do. So it's thank you from all of us here in Nashville for that 3-hour infomercial, because it's a beautiful thing, and seeing all that on ESPN and just all the things that surround the bowl. You guys do such a good job.
Well, we're like I said last night, I think we're blessed to kind of be able to kind of be part of it. But really, it's kind of the city, our volunteers, our staff, Gaylord Opryland, the downtown, the stadium, Nissan Stadium, the Titans that kind of work with us on game dates, So there's so many people that kind of have been a part of making the event pretty special, and I think that's one of the things that we do well in our city is I think everybody gathers around when we've got something that that we're proud of and put their piece in on it. And so it's been a great 25 years, our 26th game, and I think we're going to welcome a new fan base and a fan base that's very familiar with Nashville, and it'll be a great blend of those two this year.
Well, we're looking forward to it, Scott, and airing it here and being partnered up with you. Going to be a fun one, and we will talk a little bit closer to it.
All right. Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
You too. Scott Ramsey, Nashville Sports Council and the TransPerfect Music City Bowl, which will be December 30th in our city, 1 o'clock at Nissan Stadium. If you'd like to win a pair of tickets to that game between Auburn and Maryland, you can be caller number 5 right now at 615-737-1025. We'll hook you up with a pair of tickets to the TransPerfect Music City Bowl on Saturday, December 30th. How about that?
Well done. Hey, how about that?
Coming up next, we'll get back into the Titans' loss yesterday and what it means moving forward. And also, I'll mention the thing that I've never seen before. I forgot to get to that. We'll do that next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. You can join us on our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com at 615-737-1025, broadcasting live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios. Titans get beaten overtime yesterday, Joe. And, I mean, again, it was a good game. Titans led most of the way, but I'll steal a line from Rick Merritt, who I was watching the game with. They are playing not to lose. They got conservative in the second half. Weren't really doing a whole lot, and they lose 31-28 in OT. This is the first time I have ever seen this. A two-point conversion return for, I guess, a safety is how you would score it. But Imani Hooker intercepts it in the end zone after Indy scored. They were going for two, and he runs it back. That was a huge play.
Yeah, sure.
That, I mean, look, if the Titans make that extra point, they probably win the game. After they scored again. But
what coulda, shoulda. Should've done a lot of things in that game to do that. That's interesting. You hardly ever see a two-point conversion return, off that. So that was kind of good. But good for Imani Hooker. It's a stupid play by the Colts. I don't know why the shovel pass, why Minshew had to throw over his head instead of just getting it in there. Sometimes guys look to be too cute or offenses do. But end result, you lose 31-28. Now, what was this with Sean Murphy bunting on? He tweeted something last night how a couple of Titans fans went at him. I mean, it was pretty vicious.
Oh, yeah. No, I saw them. I mean, like, and look, anybody that starts that crap and DMs somebody, like, telling them to go kill themselves, like that.
But it was, I mean, it was that times like 50. Can you imagine?
Oh, yeah. But,
would you go up to Sean Murphy bunting at Golden Corral and say, look, man, Sean Murphy Bunton would put you, he would put you 6 feet under.
I call those people keyboard warriors, but I would never, if there was a player, like,
let's call him out.
Chase Utley, for instance, used to play for the Phillies and the Dodgers. I hated Chase Utley. Like, I couldn't stand him as a baseball player. Could not stand him. But I would never have gone up if I had ever met him. I would have been like, hey, and I'd be like, go Braves. You know, it would have been like something like that. Be like, man, you give my Braves a hard time. But I wouldn't be like, screw you, man. I hope you die. I don't feel that way about him. It's a game. It's a player.
Because you're a good human being.
Like, the fact that anybody would think that of, some of the messages
that
were out.
Can I call
there,
this guy out?
Go ahead.
Care. Jake Clements.
Just censor it.
Says to Sean Murphy Bunting, kill yourself, you worthless
bleep.
Penalty on the sack, and then you get cooked to lose the game. You're a blank, 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 blank. All right, so Jake Clements, oh, you're proud of yourself today. Let's see the other one we can find here. We'll call you out on this. Jackson Price, he says Jackson Price. All right, Jackson, hope you have a good day. Jackson, the Sean Murphy Bunting, says, I hope you tear your ACL next game and it ends your career. Can you imagine going to that and sending that to somebody?
Here's my favorite part, and it's always the same with those.
Unbelievable.
If you go look at the first guy, it's a picture of him and his wife and kids.
It is.
It's like this wholesome little family, and he's like calling this guy derogatory terms and saying, and go kill yourself.
Jackson Price is frolicking in the snow with his dog. Nice.
Just like, my goodness.
This guy's got 1,000 followers too doing that stuff. So anyway, if you see Jackson Price and Jake Clements, tell them we said hi today because we were calling
them. Give them a hug. They need something.
These people out, man.
Yeah. No, look, it's just, it goes too far. It's just ridiculous. These guys are players. And look, you can, it's one thing to say a guy sucks or they're not very good, but there's a line. And like, if you're, you know, if you're a true fan, you're not going to cross that line.
No, not at all. You ever booed the home team? You ever booed the Titans or the Preds? You ever booed them?
Probably at some point.
Okay.
I mean, not like in a – it's probably more in a frustrating way. Like, okay, for instance, I was at the game when the Vrabel put Malik Willis back in after he'd fumbled the snap. I didn't boo, but I was like, Vrabel, what are you doing? Get him out of the game.
I want an actual boo. I mean, we all question that move, but I want an actual boo.
I mean, I probably have. Okay. I don't know. Like, I've probably booed after a pick or if they're, like, playing poor. I don't know. That's a good question.
I don't think I ever have. I think I've never been that invested in that.
But, I mean, I think, you know, some of the difference between me and you know, I think in this town it's unique. Like, there are media members that they're here covering the team because that's their job. And they're covering the team. I grew up a fan, so I'm still a fan. And I've... You know, I made the decision when I got into this. I got into this business because I was a fan. And I made the decision when I, you know, was trying to decide. And you and I actually talked a lot about this because you were, you know, one of my mentors.
Thanks, buddy.
And that I'm going to be true to who I am. Like, I'm still a fan. So I think my passion comes out when I'm talking about the Titans or the Predators or whatever because I am a fan. But I don't take it that far. Now, do I believe there are certain players that I'm like, you're just not very good and don't need to be here anymore?
Right.
Sure. But that's different in derogatory.
You ever seen a media member meltdown? Like they're so invested in the team, they said they're not, and they do. I'll give you an example. I was covering the Tennessee-Florida game in 2009. Jonathan Crompton fumbled going in on like a quarterback sneak, and the guy next to me was a longtime media member in Chattanooga, hit the desk we were sitting four times hard and then yelled at a GD when Crompton fumbled. And everybody looked our direction and thought it was me. It's like, no. Even Hope Hines looked over at me. I was like, no, it's not me. It's the guy next to me. And he got so mad, his wife tried to calm him down. He's like, I will not calm down. And he walked out of the press box.
I have.
I was like, okay, man.
No, I have had to catch myself a couple times. Like, if I've been, you know, and that, honestly, that's one reason why now at this point in my career, I don't necessarily cover, you know, I don't want to go and,
right,
you know, cover as much anymore. I mean, you know, I obviously am paying attention to talk about it, you know, here on the radio, but I was at the game yesterday sitting in the stand. So I could get frustrated or be, you know, excited, but. There was one time, and I'm trying to remember. Okay, I know exactly when it was. Do you remember the Titans were playing the Lions at Nissan Stadium, and this was – I mean, this would have – I think Munchak was the coach, but Alan Lowry was still the special teams coach, and they ran home run throwback.
Okay, it'd be 2012, I think
something
it was.
Like that. But okay. they ran the play how it was supposed to be run, but it was the Music City – because Lorenzo Neal wasn't supposed to field the ball necessarily. He could have, but.
Right.
So they ran home run throwback, and I, like, saw it in a lot of people because it was just such an unexpected play. And I was like, what a play. It was kind of like that.
I think I'd check that game out. I got admonished by an NHL official when Mike Fisher scored that in overtime.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was like, yeah. He's like, you're supposed to be unbiased. And I said, not tonight.
Yeah.
Because I was not. Because that game over at 1:30 in the morning, I was like.
I think a lot of people were cheering because, oh, the game's finally over. Right. We can go home.
So I did that. I mean, there are times and places and all that. I get that. But the guy at the Tennessee-Florida game who just kept banging on the table and told his wife that I will not calm down. When everybody thought it was me, still it makes me laugh to this day because you get frustrated, and I get all that stuff. But as they'll remind you in a press box, according to the pro writers, whatever, you're not allowed. And I'm really glad that is a rule in there because there are a lot of homers that get in those press boxes.
Yeah. Well, I laugh too. Remember when the Vegas Golden Knights came into the league and their social media manager like accused Nashville media of cheering in the press box?
Right.
And then I think that social media manager was no longer employed after that. But, you know, that became a thing for a while.
What was the one, if you guys out there remember with this, when and I know Josh Cooper didn't mean to do this, but they were yelling Frosty, and they're playing the Penguins.
Oh, yeah.
He thought they were yelling Crosby.
Oh, yeah.
And he got just drugged for that, man. That was not good. But you know.
Recently in the League's Cup, there was a Miami, I guess, reporter of some sort, an elderly man, more on the older side of, you know, human being.
55, like
yeah, me. Somewhere around that. And anyways, he had a cigar in his pocket. He goes, anybody have a lighter? I was like, can't smoke inside, man. Just let you know. It was right after they won in the PKs. I didn't say it. I think one of the other media members, they're like, can't smoke inside, man.
Right.
It just was not professional at all.
Coy in Clarksville says, some people need their ass whipped. People who say stuff like that have never been in a fist fight. I think that's 100% true.
Oh, absolutely.
They yeah. get destroyed. Like yeah. if somebody...
Oh,
like
Jake Clements.
If Jake Clements said that to somebody, like, straight up...
Oh, no doubt.
They'd be in traction.
Yeah. But the fact that you wish somebody would tear their ACL just and your career's dumb. Over with.
Just dumb.
Oh, man. So that was Jackson Price. So Jackson Price and Jake Clements, hope you guys are having a good day.
Yeah. Please do. 615-737-1025. We'll have more coming, including the college football playoff being set and the controversy with that. Do that all coming up. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase and Big – I just said that. Just repeated myself.
Say it again, though.
Chase and Big Joe.
Vanderbilt's lost another player to the portal. DeRicky Wright says, I'm out of here. Take care of yourself. As we said earlier, if you're leaving your school, don't send me some canned message. I don't care how blessed you were to play at a school. I don't care how honored you were. Yeah, nobody cares, right? Nobody cares. Just go on and leave and go do your own thing in the next thing. Like I've told you before, all those people on Facebook who say, I'm leaving Facebook, and I always say, Facebook isn't an airport. Nobody cares about your departure time. If you want to go, just go. You want all the drama, like, oh, where are you going? Come back. Just go. Just leave. No more canned messages. We get it. Goodbye.
So let's see. By my count, all three quarterbacks are in the portal. London Humphreys, the wide receiver, is in the portal. Will Shepard's in the portal. DeRicky right now. And I know I'm missing some.
Humphreys?
Yeah, London Humphreys.
As you just said. Mm-hmm. I need to pay more attention to the
show. You do. Yeah, that's okay.
Right.
Freshman offensive lineman.
Yeah. And McGowan. McGowan's in the portal
My
as well.
Goodness.
Jerry McGowan. I mean, they've lost everybody. And wow. And look, I heard the morning show bring this up. I've noticed in all of their, you know, posts that you're giving them crap for, their goodbye posts or whatever, they're not thinking a certain part of things. They're not thinking the coaching staff.
Not at all. That's weird, right?
And it's weird and concerning. I mean, what is going on? Like, I think that is that is certainly a valid question to ask with this mass exodus that they have right now. But, you know, I pull for Clark Lee. He's a Vandy guy. Like, he's been very good to us, you know, so I want to see him turn this around. But, man, it's just tough right now. Like, I mean, they've lost everybody.
It's. I mean, so what do you do? I mean,
you got two wins. I mean, can it?
You got to portal, get your own stuff. I mean, you got to go out and sign guys out of high school. I mean, it's a tough situation. The portal has really done a number on a lot of different things. But you know what? You know, if you want to go and take care of yourself. But I'm tired of your messages.
These kids. I mean, yeah,
who cares? But. I don't care. You were blessed to play on.
But I mean, they're doing it on purpose, and you know that they're doing it on purpose because even though is it tomorrow that the transfer portal officially opens?
Something like that. It's so
but
confusing.
I mean, there's so much back channel stuff that happens that they're putting it on social media because it's like, I'm just letting you know I'm entering the portal. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
I'm getting out of here.
I'm gonna be out there.
Yeah, and I'm still confirming. We're going to hopefully have on a college coach tomorrow to kind of help us navigate all that's going on because it's chaos, man. I mean, There's a lot of things going on there. And guys,
I mean, look,
leaving.
McCord, the starting quarterback at Ohio State's entering the portal.
Yep.
Like, that's where this has gotten to now, that it used to be, like, no offense to, you know, Vanderbilt or whatever, but the teams that had not been doing well or, you know, were kind of middle of the pack, you'd see the good players transfer out because they'd want to go to a Georgia or Alabama. Like, remember when Henry Toto, you know, I thought was a standout at Tennessee? I think it was a big mistake him leaving Tennessee. I do.
Yeah, went to Bama?
No, I think, is he with the
what was his last
Texans?
Toto? I like Toto.
Toto?
Toa Toa.
Anymore.
Bob Kesslin can never pronounce it anyway. So
right, but he's in the league, I think. But I feel like had he stayed at Tennessee, you know, his draft stock might have been higher. But whatever. But now it's just like even, you know, a good player on a good team is like, nah, this isn't, you know, have an argument with the coach. I'm out.
Yeah, that's it.
So like I think what is it, Oklahoma, their starting quarterback's transferring, and Ohio State.
Yes. Yep. That's like, right. Yeah. They're, I mean, if you want to get in,
it's free agency.
Yeah. It's exactly what it is.
UCLA's freshman quarterback who split reps this year is in the transfer portal.
Yeah. I mean, I think Arch Manning will transfer from Texas, whether he's good or not. I mean, he's going to.
Yep.
I mean, if Ewers is coming back. Which that's what I've read. That's the rumor that he's going to come back for a year, right. That he's been advised to play one more year at college. And I think he's pretty good. I think he looks like a true NFL prospect.
Well, I don't like the whole you can play four games and still be redshirted. To me, I mean, it used to be like if you took a snap, you were done.
Yeah.
You burned that year right there. Now it's four games?
It's four games, so you can do that. Like, so, you know, you can have – at least 5 years of eligibility. We're seeing a lot of guys because of COVID and then injury waivers and, you know, other things, loopholes, get the sixth year. I mean, there's guys that – like Stetson Bennett, they won two national championships at Georgia. I mean, I think he was in college for 8 years. Like, he was like me. Like, and I know why. I was in college for
– right.
6 years.
Right.
Like, we know why, but – like I feel like with Stetson Bennett, he was there because he was in Georgia and then he transferred and then he transferred back. And
right, I think next year is the last year of the COVID year, so it'll kind of back to get normal going on. But I mean, I know like if you're in the portal, you lose your scholarship.
Yeah.
So if you're happy at school X and you get in the portal, well, I can take your scholarship from you.
Sure.
You can go out and look around and come back. And say I want to come back. No, you know what? I got that scholarship. So there is some
but here's
little danger
thing.
Zone when you pop out there.
Yeah, but here's the thing. And you and I both know you know what I'm about to say. It depends on who you are. If you are Mr. Five Star and you live up to it and you get into a little spat with a coach or whatever and you go kind of look around. Now, chances are if you're that, you're probably going to land somewhere else. But if you don't, because it gets so log jammed that you only have so many spots and so many scholarships, and then all of a sudden you're like, well, after further evaluation, like – one of these Vanderbilt guys, I will not be surprised if after talking it over with my family and looking at my options,
I've decided
Vanderbilt is still the best fit for me. Like, that wouldn't surprise me if something like that happens. If you're really good in the team that you're trying to leave and then you ultimately end up staying with, they're going to look at you and go, okay, yeah, whatever, here you go.
Right.
You know, figure it out with the team, with the locker room. Now, I am, you know, now if I'm one of those guys, if I'm a leader on one of those teams and I stay and I see it through and Nick Frazier decides like, hey, I'm going to transfer and then ultimately ends up coming back, I'll be like, hey, homie, like what's the deal here? Like, what, we weren't good enough? Now you want to come back?
And I think that's why you see a lot of players, you know, post those things on social media like, hey, coach, appreciate you doing X, Y, Z for me. It's just their little, I guess, hall pass to go back to the program.
And that's what I'm saying with the Vanderbilt guys. They're not doing that. Like, they're not thinking, which is concerning.
Well, here's what I just read. College football's 30-day winter transfer portal window is officially open, so players have until January the 2nd. 2024 to enter the portal for their one-time transfers. It doesn't mean they have to find their new schools by then or that they can't return to their previous schools, but they have 30 days to decide where they want to be in the portal. More than 2,100 football players entered the portal in last December's transfer window, the most of any month since the transfer portal was created in the fall of 2018.
Yep.
So you got quarterback Washington State's Cam Ward, Duke's Riley Leonard, Oregon State's DJ, and
a lot of these guys are going to follow. Like if their coaches are leaving for other jobs, you see a lot of them follow the coach.
Yep.
You know, which again, the whole thing with this is I've always felt like, okay, you make a decision at 17 or 18 years old, and then you get to 20, 21 or whatever. You deserve one to be able to change your mind. And if coaches can leave whenever they want.
Oh, I get it. I'm not defaulting the guy. They're not blaming them.
But it's the wild, wild west. I mean, it is the true wild, wild west. And the other thing is, like, everybody's like, well, you know, with NIL and transfers, well, somebody needs to get in, you know, get involved, and Congress needs to step in. I'm like, you can't put the genie back in the bottle.
No, not at all.
Like y'all messed around, and the NCAA messed around, and you just twiddled your thumbs like you always do, and you're like, hum-da-dum-da-dum-da-dum-da-dum-da. You remember that Simpsons episode where the comet's coming and Homer's sitting on the roof going, hey, we're here taking the only bridge out of town. Meanwhile, everybody's going, do-do-do-do-do-do. Like, that's the NCAA.
Let's just, as of 10:30 this morning, 10 minutes ago, there have already been 477 players that have entered the name of the transfer portal on the first day of the portal window opening. We now have 1,600 enter since the end of the season. So, yeah, it is a wild, wild west, and that's why you fall in love with the school, not the player. You play for the school if you're a fan, not the player, because they're going to break your heart and be gone.
9013 says, hey, Big Joe, I'm getting out of my vehicle at my next stop. I just want to let you know.
Thank you. I'll write that down. Again, we'll go back. Nobody cares about your messages that you're leaving the school. We just don't care about those.
It's calculated. But, I mean, and I wonder this too. Do you think that part of – I mean, we know the big reason that they're expanding to 12 teams in the playoff is money, 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 money. I mean, that's the biggest reason. But I think another part of it is, you know – you're not going to – if you're Ohio State and you're in the playoffs, Kyle McCord's not transferring. He's not entering the transfer portal.
Right.
Right now. You know, like, so some of this might cool down with – I mean, it's not going to go away, but, I mean, some of it might cool down with the top-tier teams because you're gonna get in the playoff.
Sicko's Committee on Twitter, which is a great follow, says, we're ranking schools – that's important to know. We rank schools how far walking distance is from your stadium to the nearest Applebee's. And the number one school is West Virginia. It's 0.7 miles. It falls into the chaos of all that's going on right now. Florida is 1.3 miles from an Applebee's if you want to go to school there.
Oh, well, that's good to know.
Yeah, the Sickos Committee is always fun to follow on because they look at how absurd a lot of things are with college football and everything. It just makes me laugh.
Life is absurd.
It is. Life's also a highway.
It is. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll get to celebrity birthdays and put a bow on this Monday. Chase and Big Joe, 1025, 1063 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 1025, 1063 The Game. He's Big Joe Dew, and I'm Chase McCabe. Hey, tune in tomorrow. It's your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click. If you correctly guess a Preds player that scores a goal in the Preds game tomorrow night against Chicago, you win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. Participate with Robbie and Rexro tomorrow morning at 8:45. Pick to Click, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. List your home with TJ to get your home seen, heard, and sold.
TJ, man.
Yeah, man, a lot of stuff to get into today. Caroline William DeMace will continue to do that, and also Mike Vrabel will speak at noon. College football playoff. We talked about it earlier, real quick, before celebrity birthdays. Did I get it right?
No. I think Florida State should have been there, but nobody cares what I have to think. But
look, I get it. I think Georgia had a case to still be in there. You know, I think if you're ranking the four best teams right now, then, you know, it is Michigan. I'd put Georgia and then Texas and Alabama. I understand what you're saying about Florida State, but I know that, you know, the injuries are a part of the criteria, and whether that's right or wrong, that's how they view it. And now they've written themselves an out because this is the last time they had to do it. I think it's fitting that probably the most difficult one and the one that is going to have the most controversy is the last one.
Of course.
In the 10 years of the playoff, this is by far the most controversial one.
I'm telling you right now, they're going to bitch and moan about team 13 and 14 and 15. I mean, it's never going to
be. Yeah, but it's not going to be the same.
It's going to go, you wait and see. They're still going to complain. We didn't get in. They didn't get in, and on and on and on and on. You know, just not a fan of it. But again,
well, they're going to, where the bitching and moaning is going to be is because they're going to give an automatic bid to a group of five. So, like, Tulane would be in this year.
That'd be Liberty, my friend.
Or Liberty, I guess, would be in this year.
Easy with CUSA hate.
Sorry. And then you would have, like, whoever the last team of the Power Five that's left out because of a group of five. That's where the complaint is.
It's going to be. There's, there's so much to say about this. I feel bad for the Florida State
But you know
kids.
What? You're still going
to
watch. That's where they got you.
I mean, I love college football.
Sure. I mean, I like, we complain about the NFL adding another team to the playoff and expanding and, you know, all the Thursday night games and things like that, we still watch.
Yeah, I mean, even the play-in games and the NCAA tournament, they had the four teams there or whatever it was, still watch that.
The in-season – now, I'm curious with the in-season tournament with the NBA. I have not watched that at all.
I haven't watched an NBA game in decades.
I could care less or I couldn't care less?
Couldn't care less.
I couldn't care less.
Because you could care less means there's something else you couldn't care less about.
Okay.
I couldn't care less.
Thank you.
Is Tim Duncan still with the Spurs?
He's
out.
He's retired.
He does MMA boxing now. Leisurely.
He's a fighter, MMA?
Yes, not for professional, but for leisurely, yes.
Leisurely, I'd go see a movie. He wants to get in the ring and fight?
That's what I've seen online.
Lay by the pool.
Yeah, right? Go have a beer. I mean, yeah, like you'll
that's
get
me.
Says he loves it as a second hobby.
Real quick, Dr. Crane, you sent me this thing about the Miami tight end Cam McCormick petitioned the ACC for a ninth year of football?
Yes, ninth year. This is as of last month or 2 months ago, September.
Good grief.
9 years of football.
Man loves
Van Wilder?
Man loves his football.
He should have 4 degrees by then. Well, for me, it'd barely get in one. So.
Yeah, I mean, I was about to say.
All right, Dr. Crane, you ready?
Let's do this.
Let's do it, brother. Celebrity birthdays presented by Zach Piller and his new Instagram account. Follow Zach on Instagram at ZachPillerDesign69 and step into his world.
Zach Piller will be here tomorrow in the studio with us at 10:30. All right, here we go. First birthday, actor Jeff Bridges, who was fantastic in the football movie Against All Odds. Jeff Bridges.
69.
58.
74. Actress Marissa Tomei won Academy Award for My Cousin Vinny.
It's a good movie.
It's a great movie.
Marissa Tomei. Also Seinfeld episode.
Yep. She's in The Wrestler, too. That was good.
62.
I'm going to go a little younger. I'm going to go 56.
Oh, Dr. Crane, she's 59. Just outside.
We were all around it.
Actor, comedian Fred Armisen, who was on SNL. Portlandia is a pretty funny show. It's a funny dude.
58.
64.
57. Good job. Chase on top, 1-0 here. Going on down the line. Jay-Z. Oh. Rapper Jay-Z. How old is he?
That reminds me. I have to show you a meme about Jay-Z. 57.
This is tough. I mean, he can't be that old. We're going to go 52.
54. Tied at 1. Let's see here. Tyra Banks.
Tyra Banks. 47.
Tyra Banks. 42.
50. Actor, producer Max Baer Jr. He was on Beverly Hillbillies. Was he Jethro?
I don't know.
Is that what? Maybe he was the
79.
Son?
84.
86. Nice. Dr. Crane's up 2-1. That's pretty good. You guys doing good today? Good.
Great. How are you?
Singer Southside Johnny of Southside Johnny and the Asbury Jukes. You know his name. Probably don't know him, though. Does it matter?
82.
72.
75. Listens down in Franklin. Former drummer for Diamond Rio, Brian Prout. He's an Instagram friend of ours. Drummer of Diamond Rio.
Love Diamond Rio.
They love you.
59.
Meet me in the middle. We're going to go a little 56.
Well done. 68. You guys are... Kirk Cameron's wife, Chelsea Noble, off of Growing Pains.
51.
Okay.
58?
59! Okay. Dr. Crane up 3-1. Love it. From Chase's favorite show, actor Orlando Brown, who was on That's So Raven. How was he?
Pretty good offensive lineman, too. Orlando Brown. Yes. That's So Raven. I'm going to say 40.
44.
36. And we'll end this one with, he's from Jackson, Tennessee. Game show host from Tic-Tac-Toe, Wink Martindale.
Not the offensive coordinator.
Not the offensive coordinator. Wink Martindale.
Or defensive, whatever he was.
Defensive coordinator. For the Giants. Now, Wink Martindale from Jackson, Tennessee. Not Stink Martindale or Wink Fartindale, but Wink Martindale.
79.
73.
90. Oh, boy.
You guys are terrible today. Was it Monday?
Yeah, it's Monday.
Dr. Crane, you win 3-1. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
And because of that win, you get to enter the portal.
That
I'll
is
be
correct.
Taking my talents to, I don't know, we'll see.
Probably to some Italian restaurant later on, right?
Yeah, not Fazoli's. Oh, Fazoli's has good breadsticks.
But now that you've announced, somebody we both know is going to call you and ask if you want to come work with him and also ask you for free tickets.
That's right. That'll do it. Hey, before we get out here today, to our guys out there today, let you know that we love you, man. I know the holidays are a tough time. It can be struggling. But know that our world's a better place. You guys are here. 988 on your cell phone. 988. If you need to talk to somebody, please reach out to somebody. This will let you guys know that we love you and stay strong out there.
Amen to that. Caroline, Willie, and D. Mace next.